Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University of Malta. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing the many research projects undertaken by the university's academics from all fields of study. I'm delighted to have with me today on Research Matters, Massimo De Maio, who describes himself on his visual CV as a creative entrepreneur. And I look forward to hearing about this personal definition of his. He's also the co-founder of the Associazione Artistica Piccoli Traslochi, which also sounds fascinating and slightly enigmatic. And he also contributes to the music studies course here at the University of Malta. Welcome to Campus FM.
Hello, thank you very much for inviting me.
At this point, I usually say a little bit myself about my guests, but perhaps on this occasion it would be nice to leave it to you, Maestro, just to tell us a little bit about the ITER of your musical life and what really brought you to become a creative entrepreneur, as you describe yourself.
Oh, I see. Okay, creative entrepreneur is actually a definition I found some years back, which is, I think it's very interesting, and it kind of defines the work of and what many people does today. If before people would very much count on specializing also in a very, very small, narrow niche of art or science or whatever. Today, more and more, you see people crossing borders and so working in different fields and different things. So it could be artists that start working in marketing or start working in business management and different things. I mean, creativity definitely is a very, very important part of our life, more and more today. In fact, also the University of Malta has the creativity master's I was in program, which I think is incredibly interesting. I mean, it's a definition in the sense of somebody that try to, or is interested. I consider myself a person interested in many different things. My background is a musical background. I started playing when I was 11. My brother used to play the drums, and I was interested. I made my own little drum set with cardboard, and then he went from there. I'm a percussionist. My brother became an architect, and I just kept on going. kept on going on the same direction. And so I started, young. I started performing also quite young. And that time, I mean, the thing that really struck me was, again, my brother brought a record at home of this fantastic musician, composer, and percussionist, Max Roach, which is one of the pillars of percussion and jazz music and contemporary music at all. And it was incredible for me because it was an extremely melodic way of approaching percussion. I mean, percussion is not just rhythm. You can use it and play any music as musically as possible, as melodical as possible. And this was very something that really struck me, and that stayed with me, and still today for me is one of the most important things about percussion and music. I mean, the fact to be able to relate to the audience in a way which is not just intellectual but really that pulls you in, and melody and rhythm, that definitely are the most heart connected part of music. So in this sense, then at that time in Italy, I mean, we're talking about mid-70s when I start performing and working. So I divided already there my activity into different fields. And one thing, I was very, very interested in jazz. And then I started working with different cantautori of the time. In Rome at the time, there was the Folk Studio, which was an incredible club, which really connected all kind of music. So it was folk music, it was singer-songwriters, jazz. And there was a fantastic person leading it, Giancarlo Cesaroni, who was really, really so broad-minded and so inspiring for all of us. And so they started. And so already there I start doing different things in different ways.
Yes, I suppose now to use the jargon of the time, it's a sort of smart way of using the talents that you've got, using it in the widest possible and the possible way?
Well, I think definitely we do need creativity in our daily life. I think even washing dishes, you need to be creative, otherwise you're going to get bored to death. And taking
something
care
I try
of
to avoid most, doing.
Yes, and I think dishwashers are the greatest invention after the wheel. But, I mean, in this sense, yes, creativity is so needed. And I think the moment one learns about his own creativity, then it's important also to use it in all different aspects. And then in that way, I mean, you can employ it.
When you were gaining your university degree and that sort of thing, it was Rome in the end of the 70s, and then you went on to do a major in percussion instruments. It must have been quite an interesting time to be in Rome.
Yes, definitely was a very interesting time. It was also a very hard time for the Italian history, because we're talking about back the dark 70s, was a lot of violence, a lot of terrorism. It was very, very difficult. At the same time, it was a really fantastic period, because one thing that was so important was the exchange, the dialectic in society. So the exchange of ideas, the creating new things, and also was so stimulating, I must say. At that time, university was, and institutions in the old way, in the old sense, in Italy was still quite, you know, old-fashioned. And in fact, at that time, the music course at the university was quite strange, because they required to have a compositorian studies at the conservatory before being enrolled at the university, which was quite absurd, because from the conservatory you already studied so many years. Then I went on. I was very fortunate. I must say my life has been really, really great by great fortune, because I always met fantastic persons. And there was this percussionist, an American percussionist, name was Marvin Smith, and at that time he was in Rome. He established a very interesting school. He's a fantastic educator. Now he's back in New York, but he spent about 15 years in Rome, and I was there in apprenticeship with him. And it was a school. We were about 50 percussionists, and it was really, really incredible. It was a really collaborative way of learning, and really revolutionary. Also, really already then he stressed so much the importance, for example, of the body, the position, I mean, cinetics of movement. I mean, really an approach to music which was not just, you know, a theoretical and a very strict technical approach, but was surrounded by all the different aspects which can be physical, mental, philosophical approach to be an artist, to be anyway contributing to something.
Wonderful. The percussion has that lovely physicality about it, doesn't it? That you've got those different shapes of instruments, and as you say, the different ways of actually playing them,
yes.
And the body movements. It's all very interactive.
And yes, it does involve a lot of things, especially when you stay down on a drum set. You have all four limbs going around, and
you need a very good coordination.
You have to be kind of a monkey. Yes.
And then you set off with friends you went around Italy,
well,
playing?
Well, logically, at that time I was playing so in different situations. I was dividing myself between, you know, the singer folk writers, cantautori, and I worked with many different of the time. And some of them became famous and some of them not, and that was a wonderful experience. And at the same time, logically, I was working with jazz musicians, and at that time jazz was quite limited, I must say. I mean, we had, and today Italian jazz scene is very, very nice. We have fantastic players. At that time it was a little more difficult. It was very few. There was almost no education about jazz, so it was really based on the fact of experience you have, with who you could play, with who who you will meet. And since jazz was became my focus more and more, I decided then to move on. And I knew that in Denmark there was an American musician which I was very interested to work with, John Chikai, who was been playing with John Coltrane, who was, you know, a major master. It's like for me it was like, you know, having to meet maybe the son of Bach. So in this sense it was very
lovely comparison.
Yes, so in this sense I thought, okay, I don't want to go to the States, it's complicated. I was very young, so I said, okay, I go to Denmark and I want to work with him, I want to meet him, and so on. And this was really the start of quite a journey, because then I have moved around, but it was very good, because Denmark was an incredible, vibrant atmosphere. The Scandinavian countries do support a lot culture and arts, and they always been very much on the cutting edge. And so for me it was a fantastic opportunity being in Denmark, because I had the chance again to meet fantastic masters and being able to work or also just to learn in a situation of apprenticeship. I believe very much in apprenticeship. In a way, I can say that I believe in arts transmitted as an oral tradition, in the sense that you must have the kind of relation with somebody.
Well, that's a very Scandinavian idea, this idea of oral tradition. So it must have sort of fit in nicely in their cultural makeup as well.
Well, yes. At the same time, they are very structured, and they, in fact, for example, already back in 85, I think, they started what I think was either the first or one of the very first conservatories not dedicated to classical music, which was fantastic, because it really opened up a lot also for the musicians there, the opportunity to have tutoring and the highest level, and they were inviting a lot of people there. So it was very, very interesting, again creating very much, you know, a humus of development.
And they are, the Scandinavian countries at least, are perceived as very interested in contemporary cutting edge, and
yes,
if you think of furniture and
yes,
other areas.
Exactly.
And I suppose the music areas is
of course,
follows that
yes,
same.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Right.
They are interested. Of course, it is a culture which is very much influenced by the fact it's very cold outside. So you do spend a lot of time inside. And this gives time to thought and reading and developing whatever you can do at home. And this, logically, they are always being interested. It's a very democratic society. It's a very open society in many ways. Even though people are very introverted, very, in many ways, scared of their own emotions, it's difficult. It's very difficult as a Mediterranean spirit, we can say, to get there. Because it took me a long time to understand. And then you learn things. You learn things. But logically, it's very far from our way of relating to each other and thinking and stuff.
Looking at it from the education point of view, looking through the notes that I was reading about what you've been doing, you mention education establishments, the education of music within schools, within music colleges, this sort of thing. How important is that in Denmark, that they take that very seriously?
It's very, very important. I mean, one thing, we're talking back in 1980. I went there, and the first thing that really struck me was the first couple of days. I was going around and logically taking the bus and everything, and I kept meeting people with musical cases. I mean, cellos, violins, guitars, whatever, you name it. And this really shocked me, because at that time in Italy, it was very, very difficult to meet somebody down in the street carrying an instrument. And that's because I learned afterwards, because definitely in school, already from primary school, they do stimulate a lot, and schools provide instruments for the students, give them the opportunity to try different instruments. They have bands in school and so on. So definitely they do a lot to, not because you must become a musician, but because music, if we're talking about music, art in general, is so much an important language and expression for us as human beings. And so it's important that we relate to it in any case.
The idea of sound design, you mentioned this in your CV. I didn't really understand, in my ignorance, I suppose, exactly what sound design was about.
Yes, okay, sound design is something that we can say started already back a long time ago in the 60s with the work of Schaeffer in Canada, which is working with sound. In the moment we have recording techniques, which logically developed a lot in late 60s and 70s. There is the approach to not just music, but also the approach to sound. The sounds that are around us make our life. This was last November. We had a wonderful lecture here at the university by Margaret McDuffie from Australia, from the University of Australia, who's really specializing. She's a geographer, I think you say. She specializes about sound geography. I mean, the different sounds, the soundscapes that you have in different regions, in different things, which makes your life. The church bells around where you live are different from the church bells we have where we live. And these make a part of your life. So sound design, for me, is very interesting. I've always been fascinated by sound. And in the sense to create music or performance also, because I do work not just with jazz music. Bianca Maria Stanzani Ghedini, who I work with, and my life long partner, we do performances and combining art, visual art, theater, poetry, and music. And logically, sound design means also the work using sounds from daily life. We can say, if we want to translate it in a musical way, I mean, the moment, just like samplers now, something for young people definitely know and use, and everything, or today's new computers, you can do anything. In this sense, creating sounds which alter your daily aspect. I mean, what we, with the Associazione Artistica Piccoli Traslochi, Bianca Maria and I, what we like to do is to work on space, to work changing, giving a different twist to spaces, public spaces, possibly, where people comes and used to go maybe to work, or used to come to campus and have an approach which is just different, altering a part of a reality. I think that we believe that art should be a slight influence, give that smile or that afterthought in our daily life. It should become a part, not just something that you go in a theater and watch very seriously, nicely dressed to a performance, but something that can enter your life every day or often, to like salt and pepper.
Something that makes you have a new take on something.
Exactly. Bianca Maria and I, we were just returned from Paris, and we went to this fantastic museum of ethnological and primitive art, the Musée dans Branly, I think it's called. It's just on the Seine, just near, next to the Tour Eiffel. And a fantastic place, because it's all primitive art. But the main point is this: most of the things there are ritual objects, daily objects, totems, and you really realize how important our daily things are. If our bread knife doesn't cut, we get very upset. And that's such an important tool. But the point is that also this can be a piece of art. Also this can be, and this is, was very, very important and very recognized in primitive cultures. And I think we lost this very much.
What about your impact in Malta? How do you fit into this Maltese context now?
Oh, I hope that I can fit in. Fitting in is always difficult. I think Malta is a fantastic place. I'm really, really excited. I think this moment for Malta is a moment of opening and development and exchange. So many things happen, and I think it's so interesting because Malta is I know very little, I must say. So in this sense, in my ignorance, what I feel is that it's a country with very, very deep, profound, traditional values and very deep-rooted sense of life in this sense. And I think it's very interesting because we have this also contradictions, you know, of a very deep-rooted cultural root, and so many things coming from outside, because there are so many foreign, you know, exchange. We are, you know, in a little speck in the middle of the sea, and so all of these influences, all the things. And I think this moment, probably with the European Union and with all the different openings there are today, I think it's a very, very, very interesting, because I really think it's a moment in which Malta is moving even more than before, and so much exchange is happening. I really think that this is most exciting.
You've already actually been obviously in contact with people, like-minded people, people who are interested in jazz and percussion, I imagine, and you've already actually created some performances.
Well, Bianca Maria and I, we've been performing here at the university already several times. First, we were invited last year for the 100 years anniversary of the Futurist movement. It was avant-garde movement in 1909, started in Italy. And so we were asked to in connection to a conference of about the Futurism, to perform a text of Marinetti, who was the founder. And since then, we have had already other occasions to perform here at the university, combining the work we do with Bianca is a fantastic visual and performer artist, and she's an incredible actress. She always worked with music, and she always worked joining different kind of form of arts. And in this sense, we presented this text, and as we do, with music. For the future, in particular, we did it with percussion. Then we did other work for the. Again, the Italian week, the week for
language
the Italian
week.
Language in the world, yes. And then we did another collaboration with the Italian Studies Department for two lectures on Mario Luzi and Foscolo this January. And this was very interesting. And during the jazz festival, I had a performance with Sandro Zerafa in trio. That was very nice. And Sandro is a wonderful person, a great musician. I had the occasion to meet other jazz musicians, Oliver De Gabriele, wonderful bass player that you have, Maltese. And so, yes, I mean, we start meeting and doing things.
Well, that's wonderful, because that, this lovely meeting of different influences and people from different countries, of course, can only enrich Malta's jazz scene, percussion scene. In fact, Gloria Larry Lucente, who introduced me to you, actually told me about this performance that you have done with Bianca Maria Sansone Gadini, and she was full of praise for it, and she said that it
Thank
was
you.
One of the most sort of moving performances she'd seen of late. And I was wondering about, you also say that you write music for contemporary theatre as well, and when you have something that is not a traditional text, mm-hmm. where you don't have a script and you're not given a script in your hand and say, look, write the music to this, how do you go about it? It must be quite a difficult creative action.
Mm. Well, okay, during the years I've been doing music for theatre, I've been doing music for contemporary dance performances, and as I say, working with Bianca Maria, we combine theatre performing and music. So, well, it logically is very different venues, but in any way, for me, I mean personally, this is really my opinion, is the fact that music in the moment collaborates with another art form, definitely need to collaborate. And then you must be so open as possible to really see what the other is doing and how to fit in this sense. In this way, I mean, working with, most of the time anyway, you have some kind of structure or you have an idea, unless it's totally based on improvisation. One work we did in Italy, few years back. It was very, very interesting. It was very strange. It's a long thing. I cannot explain everything for the time. But anyway, it was very much based on improvisation. It was with a huge sound sculpture emitting sounds, soundscapes from internet. It was quite complicated. It's very funny. I hope we can do this in here in campus one day. And so that was totally improvised, really improvised, because we had this kind of a totem, you know, emitting sounds, and we had to relate to this. And this was very challenging, very interesting. In any case, I mean, you do have, the most important thing is to really talk and really find out what each other is doing. Working with choreography, I think, is extremely interesting. I think it's very important to really be present at the rehearsals, understand, talk with the choreographer, because she is an artist and has ideas, but concrete ideas of what you want to do. I mean, to the fact that somebody's expressing something on a canvas, or with a dancer's body, or with a text, is just the fact of communicating something within your heart. And I think that's the most important thing. I mean, if we have that contact, then we can relate. And in this sense, then if we are talking about a sorrow, how to work with this. So how can I support, how can I contrast this in this sense with music? With the instruments, if it's a live performance right now, and so on. So I think it's very much, it's both a preparatory work and the fact that you really have to be in contact with the other part. I mean, I don't believe in having, you know, a book given and say, can you make music on something like this? I think it would be very, very, very difficult, for me at least. And I prefer to be there and see what happens.
You were saying at the beginning of the program, I think before we went on air, about the dynamism of the jazz context. Where do you feel things are going, or don't we know where they're going?
I really like jazz. I really like jazz because I think it's an extremely alive tradition, in the sense that jazz, since its inception, you know, 100 years ago, has been getting influences from everywhere and putting them together, blending them in a strange blender and make, you know, just like we do juice, put different ingredients. And this happens constantly. And in his history, jazz has influenced a lot music in the last half of the last century, of the 1900s, and it's also has been influenced so much. So today, definitely, there are many branches. Also, one thing which is very interesting is the fact that still today, less than before, but still today we can still go and talk directly with some of the people that really been main figures of this art form.
Well, I was sorry that we weren't able to play some examples of your music on this program, but I know that listeners can actually access some excerpts on the web if they just Google your name. Thank you very, very much, Massimo Di Maio, for coming on Research Matters to talk to us.
Oh, thank you.